Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, November 29th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
What are you, some kind of gigolo?
Exactly, like a gigolo, only completely different. Say, what if I could introduce you to some of the industry insiders in the world of adult products? What if I could bring you a series of conversations with leading retailers, educators, manufacturers, and reviewers who are shaping the sex toy and pleasure product marketplace? Well, wish no more, because I'm going to do precisely that with a new podcast series I'm inaugurating today. It's called Play With It.
Sometimes I don't understand you at all.
I don't see why. To ensure that we get off on the right foot in this series, I looked high and low for the best person to launch this series with me. As it turns out, I didn't have to look very far at all. Today, we take an audio field trip to a woman-friendly adult toy emporium right here in the Emerald City. We're off to meet the splendid Audrey McManus. She's the marketing, education, and social media coordinator for Babeland Seattle.
Now, all you have to do is be nice and no rough language.
I'll see what I can do. Listen, if you know anything about adult products, you'll know that the Babeland brand stands for uncompromising quality. And Seattle is lucky enough to have one of their retail outlets in our midst. Audrey has loads of information to share with us about the intimate workings of a sex toy boutique. She also invites you to check out all of the fabulous products and interesting enrichment opportunities available at Babeland by visiting their site, babeland.com. You can also find her on Facebook, and don't miss her Twitter feed at babeland_C.
Have to be down here at all, you know. I could go back to my place.
Oh no, don't go, because we're about to leave for our field trip in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Speaking of fabulous pleasure products, today's podcast sponsor is Papaya Toys. You know, I've been involved in all sorts of cutting-edge sex education and sexual enrichment projects over the last 30 years. That's why I was so delighted when the makers of Papaya Toys invited me to assist them in designing, developing, and promoting their superior quality toys that are taking the adult toy market by storm. In fact, I am proud to announce that Papaya Toys has been nominated for a very prestigious award, Boutique Sex Toy Company of the Year 2011 by AVN Magazine. This industry nomination underscores what all their customers already know. The wonderfully fun and playful Papaya Toys are made of the highest quality materials, 100% medical grade silicon to be precise. They are German engineered to deliver maximum pleasure. And Papaya Toys are perfect companions for your private intimate moments, or you can share them with a partner. Either way, you will rediscover fashion and have a load of fun doing so. Look for their dazzling banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com.
Wanna wash your hands or anything, honey?
No time for that now, darling, because here we are at Babeland, and time to get on with the show.
Hey, Audrey, thank you for inviting me to Babeland, Seattle. I'm delighted that we finally made this chat happen.
Yeah, welcome to Babeland. I'm so glad that you're down here.
Yeah. It's often easier to connect with someone on the other side of the world for one of these podcasts than it is to connect with a neighbor here in the Emerald City. But you're so busy. You're in demand. Everyone loves you.
I have a tight schedule, true.
So now that you're here, would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on the show.
And you also should know that there's bound to be a load of big, fat perverts in the audience, too. Would you like to say hello to them as well?
Well, hello, perverts. I certainly love perverts.
Who doesn't? They're so interesting, and
you know,
I consider myself one of them myself.
Yes. I have a funny story about one of my coworkers' kids, who's like 7, came home from school and said, Mom, somebody call me a pervert, and what does that mean? And she tried to explain it to him or whatever, and then he said, are you a pervert? And she, of course, wanted to say, well, yes, I am, but, you know, she said...
Take a look at me.
She said, well, what do you think? And he said, no. So she said, well, then I'm not a pervert, so... Probably better for his 7-year-old self, but
right.
Maybe later.
Well, check with me again in like 10 years.
Yes.
So what makes this podcast so special? I mean, besides the fact that you are one of my favorite sexuality educators and a really delightful person to boot, is the fact that you and I are inaugurating this brand new spankin' podcast series called Play With It. See how freaking important you are?
I feel really important and honored. Thank you so much for having me be number one.
But before we start picking your brain about the adult product marketplace, I want our audience to get to know you better. I generally start this section of the podcast interview by reading from what my guest has written about herself. And that was a bit of a challenge since you don't really talk much about yourself on your Facebook page, although I did discover, to my great delight, that we share the same birth date,
hey.
But not the same birth year.
No, I'm a little bit younger. Just a couple years.
You could be my younger sister.
Yeah. Well, or Virgos rock.
They are,
yeah.
Don't they? Yes, we do. That's right, damn it. So, I did find a bio.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about Facebook, because I was actually just looking at my Facebook page today, and I was like, what? Who? When did I set this up? Because I was looking at my movies that I liked, and like the things that I was like, wait, I have to go fix this. So, and then now that you've said that, I'm going to go spruce up my Facebook page.
Good idea. Don't change your date, though.
No, I won't change my birthday. I'm, of course not. It's my birthday.
So, I did find a bio on the Babeland site, so yay for that. You write about yourself, among other things. I've been a sexuality educator since 2001. I've worked at Babeland since 2003 and at Grand Opening from 2001 to 2003. I'm currently the marketing and education coordinator for the Seattle store. I run the social media for Babeland Seattle, and I plan all the workshops and events for the store. So tell us about being a sexuality educator. What does that entail precisely, and what prepared you for this position?
Well, being a sexuality educator isn't, basically, it's funny, when we teach workshops and stuff, we often tell people that we are all sexuality educators when you're talking about and sharing information about sex. Because a lot of the information is shared. You know, one thing I often say to new teachers who are nervous, or to like people who think I'm some kind of sex expert, I often say, like, you know, my science teacher was able to teach me about astronomy, but didn't actually go to the moon.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like you did everything.
Basically,
you know, we're non-judgmental. That's really important, and we have a lot of good sexual health information, and we share that, and we, you know, take information and knowledge from our customers and share that. Personally, I was I'm a trained sexuality educator through Planned Parenthood. I took a certification program in the Planned Parenthood in Boston.
Right.
So I have some certification behind it. But Babeland certification, you know, for our sex educators, we have a minimum of 40 hours of training.
No kidding.
And so that's just 40 hours, train, sexual health information, product information. That doesn't necessarily include the registers and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've, you know, gotten through that 40-hour training, then we kind of let you on the floor, but certainly not unattended. So always shadowed, always
right.
with someone else,
right,
and it's a while before someone is like sort of let loose to, you know, give advice and help
in
all aspects. Usually people have like they've gotten something down, like lube or G-spot toy or something, and
right.
then that's kind of their cool
right.
on that section. But it takes a while to get it all.
Yeah, got it. And running the social media for Babeland, what does that entail?
So we have our Facebook page and we have our Twitter page. And so basically I run both of those and we do contests and, you know, we just have that interaction with the customers on there. So, you know, today's snowing and there's always like comments about the snow. And I made some joke about, well, if you're stuck home from work today, might as well spend a masturbating.
I saw that. And you know what I did?
What?
When I read that?
Took my advice.
I took your advice.
It's
and
what I
watched the snow.
Yeah. It's lovely to lay back and watch the snow. So, you know, and that, but it's nice because then the community has a voice directly to us too.
Yeah.
So if someone's like, hey, I want this product, then I can say, well, you know, I'm not the right person to ask, but here's the email of the buyer. Or, hey, I have a question. You know, I have a really good example today. Someone wrote on our the Facebook page for the website, because we have a Facebook page for New York stores and the Seattle store and the website.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wrote on the Facebook page for the website, hey, can you tell me about, you know, your glass toys? And then we're like, well, that's a good question, what they asked. And so
right. We
looked it up, and there's a blog post about it, did some research, and replied back.
How cool.
So, you know, it's a good forum for our customers to talk to us directly.
Yeah. It is. It's a wonderful thing, and I follow both you personally and Babeland Seattle on Twitter, because I couldn't live without, don't you know?
Well, I'm much more active on the Babeland Seattle page, because, you know, I'm here all the time, and it's up, and I'm being interactive. But my Twitter page, I'm not quite, I mean, I'm doing, you know, when you read my tweets, it's like I'm going out to eat or something, but mostly I'm...
But I always want to know.
Right.
So in case I ever run out for food, I'm going to...
Where do they have really good chocolate molten lava cake? Audrey will know.
You go on to say about yourself, I'm the stage manager and den mother for Sinner Saint Burlesque, which is the longest continuously running weekly burlesque show in Seattle. I've been one of the organizers of the Capitol Hill Arts Walk since 2006, and at present there are over 50 participating venues along the Arts Walk that happened on the second Thursday of every month. So you're the den mother to a troupe of burlesque queens.
Yes, this is true.
A tough job, but someone's got to do it, right?
I know, yeah. It's, somebody likened organizing burlesque performers to herding glittery cats, and I think that is a fair assessment.
So how do you keep these vixens on the straight and narrow? Is there a lot of chastising, spankings, and grounding them when they go really, really bad?
If that makes you happy to say they would be very happy if I spanked them and grounded them, actually. But
and I know some of them, because yes, they would. They'd like that way too much. So no grounding for them.
Right. No, everybody in the troupe is very professional, and you know,
they're amazing women.
Yeah, they're pleasure to work with, and very dedicated and very motivated, and come up with great acts. So I'm very lucky to be involved with the Sinner Saint Burlesque troupe.
Yeah. And so one final thing then, the Arts Walk, they're really big here in Seattle. Are they also in other cities, do you know of?
You know, I think it's big in some other cities, but I'm from the East Coast, and I never remember an Arts Walk.
I didn't either.
You know, where in Boston or Connecticut, or I don't know. But out here they seem to be big.
Yeah.
I mean, in Seattle they're big, and I've definitely seen reference to them in other cities, but I don't know if it's huge. But basically, all the galleries... Or, you know, in our...
Even some of the shops.
Yeah, and the shops all have an opening or an event on the same night.
Mm-hmm.
And so, actually, my start with that had to do with Babeland anyways, because Babeland, you know, we hang art in the store, and so I was like, well, as the events coordinator, I was like, I want to get involved with the Art Walk. I think there's an Art Walk. And I looked around, and it had gone defunct.
Ah.
And so, but in my looking around and asking about it, some of the other shop owners expressed that they were disappointed it was no longer happening.
Ah.
So I said, well, if we want it to happen, we better make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a couple of different business owners and I got together and got the Art Walk up and running.
I met one of my guests, one of the very early guests, Minna Bast,
mm-hmm.
Because she was showing her stuff here.
Yeah, she's shown here twice, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe just once, I don't recall, but...
Yeah,
I do love her, and I love her work.
And finally, you say about yourself, teaching about the G-spot, anal sex, and how to have an orgasm are my favorite classes to teach. Yay!
Why are those my favorite?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love teaching about the G-spot because it unfortunately is still a mystery to so many people and or up for debate.
Right.
And it's just so factual. Like, the part of the body that it is, like, it's just there. Whether or not someone likes it stimulated, another story entirely.
Yeah.
So, whether or not the G-spot exists, it exists, but if someone wants that kind of stimulation or enjoys it or will have the best orgasm ever, that's up in the air.
Right.
You know, and so I always say to people, you know, we understand if someone enjoys nipple stimulation or doesn't, and we don't judge them for that. We're like, hey, she likes pinching and pulling and biting, and this one is like, don't breathe on them. And... Or anal stimulation,
right,
like
someone
loves like this big dildo in and out, crazy, you know, that's what they love. And someone else is like, it's an exit, not an entrance. Like, yeah, and both are valid, that's fine. But when you talk about the G-spot, people are usually like, best orgasm ever, and you're missing out, and then people feel like they're missing out. But really, hey, you might just not like it. It's the best orgasm ever for them, which is why they're going on about it. So that's why I love teaching about it, just because I get to give everybody all the information. They're like, got it. I know what it is. Got it. I know how to find it. Got it. I'm not weird if I don't like it. Cool. We can. Yeah. Or I totally love it, and now I know how to, you know, stimulate it. So,
right. So it's passing along some pertinent information about one thing or another. Is that not right, basically?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, I like teaching all the workshops we have here. We have a cunnilingus workshop and a how to please your woman and a how to please your man and, you know, positions and hand jobs and all that. But those classes are my favorite, though, the G-spot and the anal.
Right.
And the orgasm.
Cool. One final thing that you don't mention in your bio is that you are knocked up, have a bun in the oven, are with child. I love the fact that there are so many euphemisms for being pregnant. So tell us about this happy event, why don't you?
It's a true story. I'm pregnant. It's a boy, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
And he's been kicking me like crazy.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. It's a little distracting, especially when it's fine when I'm in my office and working or doing whatever and hanging out with people that I can just be like, whoa, he just kicked me. But I was just in the store earlier helping customers, and he was kicking me in the ribs so hard. But, you know, you kind of keep a straight face. I'm like, yes, yes, let me tell you about this thing. And I'm thinking, I just want to, like, you know, say something like, he's kicking me, but I can't. So
right.
It's just funny to have some little person inside of you
moving
around. It's weird.
And when are you due?
January.
No kidding. So soon.
Yeah.
Yay. So are you looking forward to it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm certainly I'm at that point where you're totally looking forward to having the baby out.
You're like, I can't wait.
Premature babies. That can't be that bad, right? Like, you can come now. Cool.
Hello. So good, good, good. Let's talk about adult products then.
Okay.
I've read that 43% of Americans have used a vibrator. Do you think that's an accurate estimation?
I would say yes, especially now. I mean, they're much more common. You can get them everywhere.
Walgreens even.
Yeah, you get them at the drugstore.
Right.
You can get them. Trojan has, you know, we carry them too, but the little cock rings, little finger things that come with the condoms.
Yes, right.
I think you can get those at, like, Walmart.
Yes.
You know, so.
By the box load.
Yeah.
The truck load.
And that makes it just normal that it's just there in the condom aisle. You know, you go pick it up and it's like, oh, with a vibrating pleasure thing for her pleasure.
Yeah.
And they even have commercials that are on TV that are like, you know, so go Trojan for figure out how to how to advertise vibrators on primetime television.
Right.
But they never say vibrator, you know, and.
Yeah.
And they make it so.
So,
do
you think that because they're so prevalent in the popular culture, that has increased people's awareness and, you know, well, I think I'll try one of those.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think in the past, you know, it was sort of like this hush hush shady, oh, you use a sex toy, you know, or it was, we mentioned perverts earlier, people thought you were perverted if you used it, or it was like really naughty. And now it's just a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really classy lingerie shop in the U Village Mall here in Seattle, and they sell the products that we sell, the Lilo toys.
Right.
And they sell Lilo toys, very high end, very beautiful, very nicely displayed,
right.
Nice packaging. And they're selling them at the mall.
Right. And you remember, I don't know.
It's not a joke. It's not, you know, it's not a novelty. Like, these
it's
are,
not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not. It's not. But I remember the days when, you know, you'd see at the back of, like, a magazine, you know, a woman, you know, with a phallic-shaped vibrator holding it to her temple and going, oh, yes, this is, you know, these are wonderful things.
That's actually how I got my first vibrator.
Is that right?
It was not from the back of the magazine, but from a woman holding a vibrator to her temple. It was in the drugstore, and I was just sort of walking down the aisle of the drugstore, and I saw it was a little fingertip massager.
No kidding.
We sell it now. It's the Fukuoku. I don't think it wasn't that brand at the time, but it's the same thing as the Fukuoku, and it's this little fingertip massager. You put it on off, has a couple different tips, a little different texture. So I walked down the aisle in the drugstore and I like just caught my eye, this woman with this little, and it was on the top shelf, and she had this little massager on her temple, and I thought, oh,
I need one of those.
That cures a headache, does it? So then I got it, you know, I just bought it at the drugstore. I was like, ha-ha!
How cool. Do you think that the majority of these Americans who have tried vibrators are women?
Probably. I mean, I'd have to look at where the statistics are sourcing from. But, the majority of our customers are using the products as a couple.
Right. Oh,
so,
interesting.
Yeah.
And
so
you know that.
We did a poll. We took a survey a couple years ago. And, I don't have the number offhand, but it was very, it was like over 50%, maybe it was like, you know, 60-70% or something,
no kidding,
are using them with a partner. And so, you know, and also the majority of our customers are self-identified as heterosexual or in heterosexual relationships.
Is that right?
So that's the majority of the women who are shopping here buying a sex toy to use with their male partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just becomes more common and normal. Like, and then with the popularity of the Sex and the City TV show,
right,
and the amount of times they talk about sex and vibrators and
right,
doing different things, like, it just normalizes everything. Or even on, gosh, you know, because we pay attention to, like, when a sex toy is mentioned, like, oh, what can we, you know, this was seen on The Real Housewives of Orange County, you know.
Right.
Like, there was a Lilo product, and we carry, I'm not Lilo, a Jimmy Jane product
right,
that we carry, and they were in a sex toy shop, and, you know, hey, those are the ones we carry. Or on Weeds.
Right.
You know, they use the strap-on and dildo, and
yeah,
well, you know, people come in the store like, "Hey, I saw this.
Yeah.
Uncle Andy was using this," you know, and you're like, "We have that. Here it is." Or the L word. God, I forget what the episode was, but like, we had to go look it up. Like, what were they using? Because people
yeah,
were coming in.
Yeah.
I saw this on the L word. I want it.
Right.
You know.
Do you? Would you go the distance and like put something in your window and something as seen on?
Well, you
know? You
can see up here on my wall. I've got Madonna leaving a birthday party with her husband, or then boyfriend, right? No, her husband at
yeah,
the time,
yeah,
with the Bend Over Beginner Kit.
Uh-huh.
And that was, we make little signs to the store. And then
uh-huh,
the Star Special has some Kama Sutra stuff we carried. And then the Real Housewives of Orange County poster was up, not in the
right,
window, but by the
right,
thing in the
right,
store,
right,
you know.
How fun.
So we just sort of like, I mean, certainly we capitalize
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, yeah, you might as well.
Or we just did the Hump Festival here, right?
Yes.
And we went and made note of all the toys that were used and
oh,
highlighted
cool,
them in the store. So this paddle, this rubber paddle for the vegan kink scene, and like this magic wand for that ejaculating
uh-huh,
scene, or
uh-huh,
this masturbation sleeve, you know.
How
as
cool,
seen in Hump. That's good. That's my job here.
Excellent. Someone's got to do it.
Right. Someone's got to do it.
What would life be without?
Yeah.
So, what would the wise, conscientious, green consumer of adult products look to avoid when purchasing a dildo, vibrator, anal beads, cock ring, etc.?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, green products and consumers that are looking for all natural, organic, body safe, all that stuff on the rise, and we totally cater that.
Yeah,
that's
right,
totally, you know, part of what we do and what we want. Like, our staff wants that too, so
yeah,
we're really, you know, picky, and, you know, we only carry the best things. Really good selection of stuff here at the store.
But that's, let me just interrupt and highlight that, because that's not usual, because if somebody goes into another brick and mortar store, or certainly online, you don't see that. You don't see folks having culled through a lot of the trash in order to bring the consumer the best stuff available.
Well, it's getting easier to find good stuff, though, for sure. I mean, definitely consumers are putting pressure,
right,
or sex toy shops like us, like Babeland, are definitely like putting pressure on manufacturers and stuff, and want to make sure we only get the best things in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's easier and easier nowadays for people to find good sex toys
mm-hmm,
out there. But it, you know, if they're not shopping at Babeland, or, you know, a store like Babeland that's
right,
gonna do all that homework for you, they're gonna have to be a little bit informed to
right,
to do that. But what products they should look for, you know, silicone is great,
mm-hmm,
stainless steel is great, glass is great,
wood
is great. Yeah, and people think, oh, wood, but when they
I love wood
toys. They're beautiful, they're
I
lightweight,
they're
like usually handmade, or, you know, and they coat them in something that they're very safe. No one's going to get a splinter from them, you
right,
know. They're very
right,
smooth.
Right.
And
it's like the same kind of stuff that they would use on a wooden salad bowl.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to make a salad bowl. I don't know. but right, you know, if you can eat out of it, you can put it in your vagina. So.
Or your asshole.
Or your asshole.
For that moment.
Whatever. So those are the things to look for
right,
sure.
And I suspect that you recommend your customers avoid phthalates, right?
Yes. So phthalates are a chemical they use in plastics to make them flexible.
Yes.
And they're potentially harmful or harmful. There's definitely been studies out there that, you know, have shown. Well, the thing is about phthalates is that there haven't been any studies on sex toys, but they've been banned in children's toys.
Right.
And so generally I say they're not allowed to put
yeah,
in children's toys. You can't put it in your mouth. I wouldn't want to put it on any other mucous membrane. Plus the UK bans phthalates too. So
yes,
we don't carry anything with phthalates at all.
Right. How interesting. Right. Yeah, because I do know that there is a huge debate in the industry. And one of the things that I'm really conscious of, since I've been doing a lot of sex toy reviews, the last couple of years is that there's nothing really in the market that polices itself. I mean, the marketplace is wide open, and you know, people are, you know, selling things of dubious quality, and sometimes the packages are marked and sometimes they're not. I always tell my the people that, you know, ask me for advice is, you know, let your nose be, you know, your first.
I think that's a really good thing. That's what I always say too, and I think we talked about that before, is the shower curtain smell.
Right, exactly.
Because everyone knows what the new shower curtain smells like, and that smells like phthalates. Yeah. You open that up, and I mean,
off gas.
Yeah, and you can get phthalate-free shower curtains.
Yes.
You know, the way the phthalates leach off the toy is through off-gassing, so it just becomes a gas. And it doesn't matter how long you've had something, it'll always smell that way. I mean, in the case of a shower curtain, it's out in the air. But for example, if you have an old jelly rubber toy and you put it in a Ziploc bag and you leave it there for like a month, open it up, and it'll, the bag will reek because it's been off-gassing in the bag.
Right.
So, I mean, I remember when I started in 2001 at a different sex toy shop company, definitely toys smelled like shower curtains. We've come a long way. The sex toy industry has come a long way. And I think people are really good at self-policing. People are... Right. All our vendors and the manufacturers we work with are very committed to, you know, having body safe products and having things that the consumer wants to buy and being safe, you know.
Right. And a word to the consumer, you know, who is in our audience, you know, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
And you know, insist on, you know, quality stuff. And if the store you're buying from, either online or brick and mortar, is selling other stuff at the expense of you, the consumer, maybe you should bring that to their attention.
Right. And, you know, if you ask and they don't know the answer, then I wouldn't probably shop there. You know, if you're going to just buy it on some random website then, and you don't have a person you can ask, or and they don't seem knowledgeable about it, then I would move on to a different sex toy company, like Babeland. But there's others
exactly
out there,
there
who are very, you know, very helpful and very knowledgeable about all this stuff and can concretely and accurately, like, explain this is what's in this is what's in that. You know, and sometimes, like you were saying about the self-policing, sometimes we'll get it. We work with some really great vendors and manufacturers, and, you know, we know who's trusted. You know, I've mentioned Lilo and Jimmy Jane, and Fun Factory's been making silicone toys for over 10 years, you know, and there's just so many good companies out there. And then the bigger ones, like Doc Johnson or Cal Exotics, like, even they have, like, stepped up so much, and they offer so many things that are phthalate-free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shouldn't be that hard.
Yes.
But definitely.
But it's also interesting to me that, you know, nowadays, you know, people can say that, you know, a toy is a silicone toy, and there's not really a guarantee that it is.
Either. Right. Well, because the sex toy industry isn't regulated.
Yes.
So people, they could say something, but...
And how much silicon is in a toy?
I mean,
it could be 5% silicon, and they call it a silicon toy.
Right.
Or medical-grade plastic. What does that mean? I'm not sure.
You know, there's only one thing we carry that is labeled as medical grade plastic, and it's the Aneros, which is the...
Right, exactly.
And I feel like, I don't think I can explain what that means, but I feel like they've explained it to us in a way that I felt confident. I mean, they're really a conscientious company, and they've done a lot of research, and I don't know what
that... I love
that. I think
that.
It means, like, you can boil it or something,
exactly.
You know? Like, it's
really high
quality. So it's good to know the vendor, it's good to know the manufacturers of things. Like, if you see something with Fun Factory on it, or Lilo, or, you know, we have the Be Naughty toys, and, like, those are good companies, and it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell. You can, I mean, I would say Babeland's done a lot of homework for people, so I feel like I know, but you're right, it would be hard if someone's at some random sex toy shop. How would they know what to trust?
You know, one of the questions that I get online all the time from people is, well, you know, you're telling me that here you're reviewing this toy and it's $100 or $80 or even $125, and then you review another toy that is maybe $30 or $20, and why would I buy the more expensive one and pass up, you know, the opportunity to have this fun, you know, less expensive one? And so there are things like it's rechargeable, it's healthy, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. And that, you know, good quality stuff costs money.
Mm-hmm.
That's like buying a car,
right?
It would seem.
But you don't have to get something that's not body safe, though.
That's true.
For $17. We just got this toy and it's like $17 and it's, people love it and they want to compare it to the rabbit because it's dual action.
Right.
The difference between the $90 rabbit and the $17 dual action is that the rabbit rotates. It's got two motors in it. You know, it's got the vibration and the rotation and the pearls.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, it comes with a 90-day warranty minimum.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy the Jimmy Jane version, it comes with a 1-year warranty.
Right.
Just really, I mean, made in Japan, really well-made, high-quality toy. The $17 one, it's going to be low and high. It's not going to rotate. It's not going to have the pearls in it. Yes, it's going to have penetration in the clit stimulation part. It's, you know, is it going to last you a year?
Mm-hmm.
It might. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the difference between buying. But that doesn't mean it's not safe, you know. Like, it's a, the ones that we carry definitely don't have any of those bad chemicals in them.
Yeah. Another question that seems to pop up a lot these days is in terms of rechargeable stuff. Rechargeable products that recharge themselves by having them plugged into the wall
mm-hmm.
and through a port in the product itself. Those are very popular.
Yes.
And there's some often a drawback though because they cannot be completely waterproof because you know the port themselves.
Well, now they are getting more of them are getting waterproof. Great.
Like the new Lila line. For example.
Yes, the new Lila line, and Fun Factory has a lot of waterproof rechargeable toys.
No kidding.
And Jimmy Jane, and they're doing it with magnets.
Oh, that's right, like so the kind of stuff that you have for your toothbrush, right?
Yeah, I guess so. yes, I do. I have a Sonicare. It sits on that little thing, so I guess,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's just like that. So it's totally sealed, and there's like a little area, and you just line it up, and it just plugs in.
Right.
Yeah, unlike the Sonicare, though, I don't think you should be charging it while it's wet. But, you know, you just dry the wash the toy, dry it, and then you can plug it.
Right.
So the Jimmy Jane toys, we have, I think there's three of them,
mm-hmm.
the Form 2, the Form 3, and the Form 6. All of them are totally submergible,
mm-hmm.
all are rechargeable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got several Fun Factory toys that are waterproof,
mm-hmm.
I mean submergible, waterproof,
mm-hmm.
and rechargeable. And the new Lilo toys are,
Do you come down in any direction in terms of, like, rechargeable batteries? For battery-operated, because there's a whole lot more battery-operated toys out there than there are rechargeable ones.
Yeah, there's more and more. I mean, people are kind of, you know, manufacturers are jumping on that rechargeable bandwagon just because the rechargeable toys tend to be more powerful and they tend to have a longer lifespan.
Right.
Like they're just higher quality toys in general. And then also, you know, the cost of batteries compared to just plugging it in.
Right.
Like on the average vibrator uses about 100 batteries a year. It's 100 batteries going in the landfill. So a lot of times people think of the cost of the batteries and it just makes sense to buy the rechargeable toy, especially because it's going to last longer. In general, that's the case. But as far as rechargeable batteries, like if someone has a battery-operated toy, then obviously rechargeable batteries are the way to go. That's what we use in the store for the battery-operated toys.
Yeah. Otherwise, your battery budget would go through the roof.
Yes, absolutely. I know. Could you imagine how many batteries would go through? You know, there is something to say compared to brand new, fresh, non-rechargeable batteries and rechargeable batteries. Like, you put in a brand new, fresh battery into something, generally it seems a little stronger. It seems like rechargeable batteries don't quite get...
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, if you compare... But rechargeable batteries also have a shelf life, so they're a lot better in the beginning than they are after several uses.
We talked briefly about this just moments ago, about soft jelly-like materials. They're very porous, and they're very hard to clean, sometimes impossible, at least impossible to sterilize, and so they're not shareable without using a condom. That sometimes is a problem for a lot of people because condoms themselves can be, you know, somewhat difficult to get rid of, to dispose of. Flushing them down the toilet is not always a good idea.
No, you don't want to flush them. Just throw them in the trash.
Right.
I think we talked about this maybe before our interview a little bit. Just in my opinion about condoms not being biodegradable or whatever, it's just... the lowest thing on my worry list, you know, like the amount of water bottles that people use.
So true.
You know, just hearing about the BP spill in the Gulf and then comparing that, like, it was a fraction of the amount of oil used to make water bottles every year in the United States. It's just like, I mean, that's just shocking, right? To think how horrible that spill is, and that's just a fraction. So, I mean, people throwing away condoms is... nothing compared to, like, all the other things that are out there. But yes, the porous toys, absolutely, like... They're fine to use for yourself, you know, if someone's just using them for themselves. Or if someone has an anal toy, I would not mix it. I wouldn't use it anally and then vag. I mean, obviously not in the same use. I wouldn't use it anally and vaginally, but I would keep my anal toy as an anal toy. And, you know, your vaginal toy, your vaginal.
That's easy for you to say.
Right. You know, if it's porous like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, put a condom on it in between. But if you're sharing it, you definitely want to use a condom on it.
And toys are fun to share, I think. And with that, I'm looking at my clock and I notice that we are out of time for
today. Wow, that flew by.
I know.
We're too chatty.
And I've got, like, way too many questions left to go. Can I come back next week,
please?
Yeah, absolutely, because I was excited to talk about all this other stuff, too. So let's do it again.
Alrighty. But before we go, could you give us your website address? Let's get the Babeland address, website address. And can you walk us around a little bit? What can we find there?
Oh, sure. So it's babeland.com, and you can find lots of great things on the website. So down the left-hand side, there's all the shopping. Mm-hmm. So the vibrators, butt plugs, lube, dildos, all that stuff, all down the left-hand side. All those little links there will take you around. But if you look at the top, this is fun too, there's an events tab. That's what I do here in the store, mm-hmm. which is plan the events. We have lots of workshops, most of which are free. We have two paid workshops a month. Those are generally $35 and two-hour workshops and very mm-hmm. informative and lots of fun. We have a blog, so we're always updating our blog, so I recommend people check in and subscribe to our blog. And I love our how-to section. So if anyone ever has a question from, like, how to bend over your boyfriend to how to put on a condom to how to find your G-spot, we have a how-to for that.
Oh,
so
cool.
Go to the how-to section and you can look up all the, you know, and then maybe, you know, if you don't want to get a whole book or something, you can check out the how-to articles.
And we could see a picture of you, huh, if we went to the staff bio.
Yes, that's true. They're
holding dildos.
That's
glass
right.
ones.
Glass dildos, yeah. I think it's the about section.
That's right.
And then staff bios, and there's a lot of the staff here is
cool beans.
Included on the babeland.com website.
Cool beans. Thank you, darling. I sure appreciate it. Enjoy the snow.
Oh, I
and
love.
I will see you again next week.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
What a marvelous show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my interview with Audrey McManus and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Every time she opened a kiss of the night, something wrong come up.
I thought I was exceptionally articulate today. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Papaya Toys. At Papaya Toys, being eco-friendly is not just a slogan, it's their business. Every step in the manufacturing and packaging process is scrutinized to see how best they can limit their environmental footprint. Now, how many other sex toy companies can say that? And their zeal for perfection delivers high-quality, fun products at an affordable price. For Papaya Toys, quality means attending to every detail in every aspect of product development, from selecting the highest grade materials to collaborating with progressive manufacturing partners, from superior customer service to consumer education. Why not be the first one on your block to be the proud owner of a Papaya toy? Look for their banner right there in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com.
Dumb broad.
I resemble that remark. One last thought. I hope you're also following my two other interview series, which appear on Wednesdays. One is called Sex Edge-ucation, and I converse with prominent practitioners, educators, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles. And we investigate the world of fetish sex and kink. The other is called Sex Wisdom, and here I chat with researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. I can assure you that each of these conversations will be well worth the time you spend with us. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.